Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, providing training to suit your business daytime or evening, in class or online, in training centres or on site.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. My guest this week is your Tyrconnell Tribune editor, John McAteer. After working in the newspaper game on a freelance basis for 20 years, John McAteer and his business partner, Francis Diver, set up the Tyrconnell Tribune newspaper in February 1991. 30 years and almost 1,300 editions later, John, Francis and the Tribune team are still going strong. I spoke to John at the Tribune offices in Milford about his life and times in the world of print.
I suppose as far back as 50 years ago, Keir and I would have been doing a lot of freelance work, particularly for the Derry People. I learned most of my journalism from a man called Sean Curran of the Derry People, and indeed a good bit from the late John McIntyre. Great, great men of their era. So that's where it all began. It actually began up at the hospital where I began doing a lot of writing, press releases. We founded a development association and founded a festival committee. So you had to write your own press releases. You didn't have media coming out to talk to you back then. You didn't have photographers. You did it yourself and you brought it into them. And what inspired me one time when there was an issue over licensing regulations for the Fannad Festival, when singing pubs were the big, big thing. We had 10 singing pubs, huge crowds at them. You went to court to get a license for one of the pubs only. And that was granted automatically. And on the second night of the singing pubs, the Gardaí came along and shut the whole show down. I contacted Sean Curran about it and he says, "You write up, John, what you think happened and why you think it happened." And I got something of a shock on the third evening when I picked up the Derry People and found the exact 1,000 words that I had written.
What year was that?
That was the early 70s. So I've been writing ever since. I suppose the business actually began. I worked in St. Connors, as you know, on the psychiatric nursing staff, done various other jobs in the community and all that kind of thing, but was always doing PR work, regardless, for some organisation or some committee or some club. And I suppose around the early 80s, I got this notion that perhaps my real calling would have been in journalism and in writing rather than in psychiatric nursing. I had probably spent 20 years in St. Connell's, and at that point, I believed I had achieved as much as I could in that profession. It was probably time to move on.
And move on to 91. How long was the plan in the making?
The gremlins of the plan was probably in the making for about 10 years. Charlie Collins used to remind me all the time, who was my colleague at the hospital, that I'd been talking about for 10 years before I moved. I don't have any regrets about that, because the years in the hospital were a great experience. Psychology was one of our strong suites, and you learned to read people and what they were thinking, as I'm trying to do with you now when you're sitting there talking to me.
So when did you bite the bullet, John, and say, right, I'm going to do this?
Probably around 84, 85. I was in the community for almost 3 years. And I remember the day that I went out into the community, I just thought to myself, I won't be back in here to work as a psychiatric nurse. I think I will take leave of absence and I will go it alone, set up a business. At that point, I had known Francis, I'd known his father better, but we were doing a huge amount of photography and wedding work, camera work, and I was continuing to write a lot of material for the Derry People. And I think it was about, 85 maybe, we decided that we would set up a business just right across the street here, 100 metres across the street from where we're sitting. And that was a video photography business and PR. And the paper was 4 years later. The business ran on its own as a standalone business from 87 until our first edition came out in 91. We spent about 18 months preparing for that. And we've never looked back, to be quite honest.
There's a lot of planning in 4 years for the first edition, but you were determined to get it right.
I think what happened is that I identified a niche, that I was covering a lot of stuff that wasn't going to be used in what you would call a bigger paper, such as the Derry People, which it was, such was the Democrat, the People's Press. Those were the big papers, and indeed so was the Derry Journal. But they were more interested in in the bigger picture rather than in the local community events and that kind of thing. And much of that stuff that I was supplying to them was not being used. So it was there that I sort of really came to the conclusion that there is a niche there. But we weren't aided and abetted by all the funding agencies that we approached looking for some help to get the business up and running.
Did you get any help from anybody?
Not a cent. Not one cent. Every one of them. All the government agencies laughed at the whole idea as it was a bit of a joke and said, forget about it. And after that, talk about consultants. I've never had any confidence in any of them ever since because they were all 100% wrong.
You mentioned you were keen to go alone. Yourself and Francis teamed up within the business. How important was it that it was very much a two-man show, for want of a different phrase, at that stage, and remaining so?
I suppose it was all we could afford at that time. We were originally monthly being printed by the Sligo Champion, and we had too many other commitments, too many bookings, photography, wedding coverage and that kind of thing. So we tested the waters for 16, 17 months. And then one particular night I was covering a function at the Port Salon Golf Club and I met Colin McCarroll from the Derry Journal. And Colin says, I'm a bit disappointed in you that you didn't ask us to quote you for printing your paper. And thereafter we went fortnight for a number of years till we set up our own printing shed.
And just going back to the early days of the newspaper, had you a business plan, John? And if so, what did that business plan look like?
The business plan was very basic. Get the edition ready, get it out, get the 24 pages or whatever filled. We used whatever experience and photographic knowledge that we had. Business plans are grand up to a point. The basic business plan will have to be based on the fact that your income exceeds your expenditure. And we have always, I think, succeeded in doing that, despite the fact that we were always short of any state funding. Even today, it's even worse now than ever before, given that we're in the 1 year today since we decided that we have to go down to 32 pages rather than 40, because our advertising revenue in the following edition collapsed by 98%. And we have never recovered that to any great extent. Yet we have never got any real funding from the state other than the odd monthly ad or two-monthly ad. I think we've had an ad this week from the Department of the Taoiseach, and that's the second one this year. Now, the Department of the Taoiseach at this point has spent almost $17 million in advertising. It has gone to mainly the national media. It has gone to TV and radio. It has gone to a group of regional papers that are affiliated to an association, but there's another 40-plus newspapers who are totally standalone, like ourselves, the Finn Valley Voice, the Inishowen Independent, and the Topic Group in Mullingar. We simply can't get funding, no matter how much lobbying we do.
How frustrating is that for you?
Totally. Because, you know, the print industry keeps putting forward a proposal that funding should be provided for the distribution of newspapers. Now, we don't fit that category because we do our own distribution. But BAI merely funds broadcast and local radio. And that's fine. But we're not getting any decent slice or any share of that at all. Because, you know, you can't spend all week worrying about who do I contact in the Department of the Taoiseach? Who do I contact in the Department of Health? Who do I contact in Donegal County Council? The Health Board. We just don't get anything from them of any consequence.
Just going back to the first edition on the last Monday in February in 1991, I know you've documented that day and last week's special edition of the paper. Just take me back to that day and when you got the first edition of the Tyrconnell Tribune in your hand, John, what was that feeling like?
I suppose it was a feeling of great achievement. You know, that for the first time you saw that you're holding, it was a 16-page paper, black and white. It was something of our creation. It was something that we felt that we had worked hard to achieve, and here it was, probably way above our expectations, because you have no way of knowing what your expectations should be until Michael Moore, who was the print manager and the Sligo Champion, handed us the first copy coming off the printing press. Yeah, it was a signal moment.
And the 30 years since, Is the journey what you expected it to be, or is it nothing like you thought it was going to be?
It's a mixture of both, because you live from one edition to the next. Even though an edition is out on a Wednesday night, this next edition is already in progress, because there isn't an end. there's a continuation of that journey because you have materials sitting there that's not used or that's held over for one reason or another, lack of space and that kind of thing. So as we sit here on a Thursday afternoon, the reality is that quite an amount of material has to be sorted out and developed for next week's edition. Like it's a continuation of a journey. You have 51 editions per year, but you know those are deadlines only, because like I have plans to meet people later on via Zoom later on today and tonight and tomorrow, that kind of thing.
Have you always been located here in Milford, John, on Main Street?
Yeah. We've just been, as I say, directly across the street where we started in a small room leased from a man now dead, Eddie Shields. We were there, 5 years or thereabouts. We found that the other big achievement then, the other big development, is that we set up our own printing department in a former bakery just down across the street as well, which was McGeating's Bakery. We were there from 1999. For a number of years, and we eventually moved right back here behind us where we're sitting, where we developed a plot of ground into a fairly modern printing shed, modern by our standards. We're the only paper in Ireland printed, published as we are on a Heidelberg sheet fed machine, which is about 30 years old, and the quality speaks for itself.
When did you make the move, and why did you make the move to take on your own printing press?
It gave us more control of our deadlines. It gave us more control of our production methods. It gave us control of our own quality. And it was also a natural progression, really, you know. At that point, the Derry Journal, we had good years in the Derry Journal. They were evolving. They were moving on. They were in the process of being sold. And there was a stage, we were always printed on a Wednesday morning. But at a time, material had to be with the journal by Sunday afternoon. And that was completely off the wall insofar as deadlines. There's no point in having a Sunday deadline for a paper that people are going to be reading basically on a Thursday. So we spent a couple of years, I suppose, considering what the options were. Now, this was a real shot in the blind. Lawrence Donegan came here from the Guardian newspaper. And through him, we got in contact with a paper up on the Irish Guy called the West Highland Free Press. They were printing their own. Their concept was the same as ours. So we learned an awful lot through Lawrence Donegan from the late Jim Bruce. He was a production manager on the West Highland. And we're forever indebted to him and his help in setting up the plant.
What was what was the best thing you learned from that experience?
The best thing that we learned from them is that we could do it ourselves. Not only could we sit down here, write the paper, print it. I mean, at one stage, Francis and myself were actually doing the printing as well. Our earlier printer decided to go a different route. We had another printer then from Belfast who disappeared into the ether and was never heard tell of again, along with a car that we had bought for him. And that's another story. That's an amazing story.
Good man, John.
But at that point, we had learned to print. And we got a message probably on a Monday evening that this man was no longer available and the paper had to be out on Wednesday or Thursday. And me and Francis worked right through the night. Noel and the staff here at the office also worked through the night. But we got the paper out. And from there on then, we eventually, Jerry Carlin from Derry, who's now been here for 19 years, he has been a huge contributing factor. He is the print manager. And I suppose we don't have to think about that now. Jerry's in charge of the printing department. We buy in lots of paper in 100 tons at a time. We do a lot of jobbing printing as well. And we're well set up and we're well established. Like there will always be room for improvement, for more digitalization, for more automated printing and that kind of thing. But as we now stand, we're fine. We're fine that way.
The 80s was a tough decade economically, John, and setting up a paper in the early 90s, it was a different landscape in relation to the media, the world of media. Locally, Highland Radio just set up the year before. What's your view of the local media, local newspapers, the world media?
You see, media has changed forever, as I wrote in last week's 30th anniversary edition. the whole process of social media. See, we weren't of that era that Highland Radio or social media was there before us. We just came in with that. We were almost a part of that. So we never were competing with anyone. We were just competing to get our own deadlines on schedule and to get things out. And we lived quite comfortably with any competition that came our way. But I mean, social media, digitalization, all that has changed forever, the system. When you look around the office and see the computerized system, and when you look at the original small computer, a 9-inch black and white computer, probably with the speed of a snail compared to today's machinery, you know, you have to learn to live with that. You don't worry about it. You get on with it. Let social media do their own thing. That's none of our business. I mean, people buy the hard copy. They want to see that, to keep it as a record. As always, I see social media as having its own particular role. I have no complaints about it. I would use social media very occasionally, but I wouldn't have any complaints or objections to the fact that social media is going to take over. And so far as local papers is concerned, I think social media doesn't compete or doesn't compare with the local news. The local reporters out doing their pictures, getting the stories written up, that doesn't happen in social media, because social media is a way beyond that kind of thing. What you would call the party parochial broadcast type of thing. You know, the local sports days, if they ever come back again, the little events, the functions, the fundraisers, the 5Ks. Milford's renowned for 5Ks. I think before the lockdown, we had 150 the previous year. There seemed to be a couple every evening of the week. But those things are vital to the community and to the well-being of the community. But covering them is equally as important.
And there we'll take a break.
Would you like to lead your team effectively? Donegal ETB's Diploma in Leadership and Management assists leading through change. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 912 0500.
Before the break, John spoke about social media and outlined the role of a local newspaper. I asked him if focusing on a specific area and serving it well was key to the success of the Tyrconnell Tribune.
Oh, absolutely. It's more time-consuming. It leaves you much closer to the community. I mean, part of my role would have been over many years. You'd go out to the local wakes and you get the details from the bereaved. You talk to the families. You get a picture. And that resonates. It resonates very bigly. Very, very, very big in the paper. We also had column writers then come in there. The likes of Brian Smeaton, and we had Anton McCabe and Paddy McMenamin and Moses Alcorn, Declan Kerr. They have made a huge contribution, you know. Our model is that bit different in that being a small independent paper. Most of our staff, beyond ourselves, there's three or four of us here, the rest are all, they're all sole traders. They're all freelancing in effect. So they stand on their own 2 feet. But in a way, that hampers us then from the point of view of being unable to get, say, the COVID payment from them. We can't do that. But we're not worried about that. We just get on with it. And we just hope that our sales, because we do our own distribution, we maximise the potential of the price of our paper to its full value.
Would you agree with the notion that surviving is succeeding at the minute?
Oh, definitely. Well, there's no two ways about that there, because, I mean, this day last year when we decided to go down to 32 pages, we never in our wildest dreams could have imagined that 1 year later that we might be looking ahead to the best part of another year. Now, there is going to be a breaking point for many, many small businesses. We can only keep our fingers crossed that we're not one of them, because we have a very loyal readership. We have very, very good sales from the point of view of any small newspaper. But you have lost a huge tranche of money insofar as revenue from advertising is concerned. Very hard to see all of that coming back, because from my own perception, there are businesses that would have been advertising in the Tribune in the past won't be advertising in the future because they may not reopen again. And that's a big worry for everybody. Community life could easily change forever. The way things are done could change forever. We don't know what restrictions that we're going to have to be involved with insofar as prevention of COVID is concerned over the next 12 months. it's not just looking 100% that we're going to reopen fully as if it's all gone and won't be coming back. I don't believe that.
The Tyrconnell Tribune is available in a digital format now, John. When did you make the decision for that to be available online?
I suppose it's about 18 months ago, I would imagine. We did have a stab at digital platforms, probably were the first one to do it in Donegal back in the early days, and it just didn't work out. It wasn't proven to be of any real value. Now, digital platforms, they are a source of advertising in the paper, but they wouldn't generate huge sales by any means. You wouldn't live off the revenue from digital, you know, because people, people living in Texas or Honolulu or somewhere like that will buy a subscription online, but they may well also get the paper in hard copy. They want it as a record. It's a social history of the community that they live in and that the community that they grew up in. And that is a big part of the appeal of the local newspaper. You know, it is there in all weathers for all reasons, covering everything that goes on in that community and recording that as part of history for future generations.
Talking about history, you're 50 years writing, you're 30 years as a newspaper editor. Is there one story or one event that stands out above any other, John?
Absolutely. Meeting Bill Campbell, the Nobel laureate, excuse me. He was the most inspiring man I have ever met. I had the luck to meet him on four different occasions. He's the most humble of men, the most unlikely character you would ever meet. He's so laid back. He is so quiet behind the scenes, nondescript, yet he has a brain that's way beyond my imagination. And to discover a cure for river blindness that led to sharing a Nobel Prize, you know, for physiology, is something that we've never had in Donegal before and probably never will have again. I think he's probably only one of about 10 people in the country in total. So he was the most inspiring character that I've ever met.
And the Tyrconnell Tribune is highly regarded in relation to its political coverage. Any one standout moment down the years, John, in relation to elections, issues, political stories?
I suppose the big standout moment at the early days that Francis, Declan Kerr and myself for the 1997 election decided to do an opinion poll. Now, we just got a telephone, each of us got a telephone book, and we took pages, say, I took pages 1 to 100, Francis up to 200, Declan 300, and we picked a random sample of 300 names, and we went out while we sat at our phone desks here and contacted those people. We probably got about a response from about 250 of them. And it predicted the loss of Paddy Hart's seat. Now, he was the father of the Dáil. Paddy Hart was absolutely astounded. He wasn't angry or he wasn't surprised or shocked, but he decided on the following Saturday. Fine Gael was a pretty strong, vibrant organisation. He got teams, he got feet on the ground, covered every housing estate in the constituency, and came up with exactly the same result as we did. And he rang me late that Saturday night or early the Sunday morning and he says, John, I doubt my seat is gone. That was a standout moment that from a very small sample but a very accurate one, it proved that the science of polling is, if it's done right, works very well.
What's your view of the political landscape locally at the minute, John?
It's very nondescript, it's very, very flat. Nobody's quite sure where we're going. Everybody tends to be looking forward to the next election. You know, given the result of the last election, we have to start with Sinn Féin being on 45%. You have to look then at Fianna Fáil under 20% or thereabouts. You have to look at Fine Gael's fragility at around 15%. Then you have a group of independents. Now, that was pre-COVID. I don't know what the result would be today. I don't buy into, you know, just at this point, I'm not disputing any poll. Fine Gael and Sinn Féin are both up there on 29%. You know, 29% is a very, very substantial figure. Fianna Fáil is down at 13 or 14%. You have two opinion polls, 5 days in a row. Fianna Fáil 14, Fianna Fáil 13 on the other one, on 5 or 6% in Dublin. that is in a very dangerous zone for the party. There seems to be internal difficulties within the party. The whole concept of the merger of the two civil war parties of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael has not been bought into by the grassroots, and they could flounder on that possibility, because I've never heard so many long-standing grassroots members of Fianna Fáil saying, we're not going to vote for that party again. They don't represent us. They're not saying they're going to vote for Sinn Féin. They're not saying they're going to vote for Fine Gael. But they're saying they're not going to vote for Fianna Fáil. But I'm not hearing the same kind of rhetoric coming from Fine Gael people. They are staying very, very quiet about it. I know privately that a number of them are quite unhappy, but they seem to have bought into the leadership of Leo Varadkar. I can't understand that there. They haven't. Fianna Fáil people have not bought into the leadership of Micheál Martin. I don't know why that is. They see his leadership as weak, as indecisive, and they see him allowing himself to be upstaged literally every other day by Leo Varadkar. I mean, Leo Varadkar has already given us a blueprint for the COVID up until the month of May. Now, that is creating big, big difficulties for Micheál Martin, who is a politician that does not want to be adversarial. Leo Varadkar doesn't really mind. He's very proactive. He's very independent in his opinion, and he seems to take the grassroots along with him as well, you know. I mean, if you look the other week at the rows within the parliamentary party meetings, Fianna Fáil were turning inwards on themselves. Fine Gael grassroots or their parliamentary party members were turning outwards and attacking Fianna Fáil. So, like, the two of them can't meet. There's going to be a clash somewhere there. Now, whether or not Sinn Féin can become a major player at the next general election, there's not one that I would want to go there at the moment, because they too have issues to confront, you know. They have to sell the idea to a much wider audience that they can do a better job. They have to broaden their base across the social factors of society. They have to expand on some of their big ideas to a greater extent, especially in relation to taxation. Big ideas needs big money to deliver. I mean, we're looking at Owen Murphy trying to deliver that housing deal where the government is buying about 20% into social housing, and it's been rejected right, left and centre, including by the ESRI. It probably will drive up house prices. But housing, health, there and the whole issue of agriculture, farming and the environment are going to become the Achilles heels of the next fight for who wins the hearts and minds of the nation's voters.
12 months of the pandemic has impacted on every part of life in Ireland, John. What has been the impact of the pandemic in Milford and in the area that your newspaper serves?
It's been massive. People's inability to socialise. People have been locked up for a year. It is not a natural, normal way of life. I see people now that they feel more depressed, more isolated, and I would worry about many people that I meet out and about, because they don't see an end in sight. Because you hear people saying to you very casually, it's got to the point where it's not worth living anymore. That would worry me, from having come from a background in psychiatry and sociology. People feel hemmed in. They're also locked into their own mindset, and that mindset is not taking them to a good place. The government has failed to sort of interact with those people. The message being sent out that we're going to have another 9 weeks of lockdown is driving people into a deeper abyss of depression, rather than just doing it in a very proactive manner. That, you know, as a nation, we are making progress. As a nation, we will come out of this, but we can't put timelines on it. This is what they've been doing in the north. You know, the Northern Ireland has been a way ahead of us on the curve of despite the differences that they have in Stormont. But how they've handled it, you know, as conflicting parties, literally at a war of words each time that they meet. But they've handled it much better than us. Because you had Micheál Martin 10 weeks ago now going on Radio and the Gaeltacht that are talking about a 9 week lockdown. That's too far ahead for the ordinary mind to take in, given that they've already taken a year of it. So from that point of view, the government has got an awful lot of things wrong.
What advice would John McAteer give his 21-year-old self?
I probably would just look back. I suppose it's a very awkward question to answer, but like from the experience of that lifetime, I probably wouldn't do anything very differently. I would never have anticipated being the editor of a newspaper. I never would have anticipated this kind of pandemic that has hit the nation. I would advise that we're using social media incorrectly. Social media, the internet and all that, has opened up new horizons that we never could have even imagined 10 years ago. But in a way, it has led to people being much more isolated in communications with their own neighbours. People are not communicating anymore other than on Zoom, other than on FaceTime or whatever other social media that's available to them. But they're total strangers to their own neighbourhood. And again, that's not good. Communities can't survive without the support of each other. And until the government does something to come up with some kind of initiative that encourages community involvement with each other, community participation. But you see, at the moment, you can't go into somebody else's house. Now, how long can that go on? Or is it indeed being observed? I have my doubts about that.
And finally, what does the future hold for John McAteer and the Chicano Tribune?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm now 76 years of age. I haven't really thought about retiring just this year or next. It all depends on health. I think the paper has a strong brand name. I think regardless of who's here, the paper should continue to support and deliver and promote and indeed highlight the issues that every community has. Like this week, we're highlighting an issue here on a housing estate in Milford, Upper Mount Marion, where the lack of water pressure has been a major issue. And it's that kind of thing that the Tyrconnell Tribune picks out of the Easter of the news mix of the week.
That was John McAteer reflecting on his 30 years as editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune. I'd like to thank John for his time. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, providing training to suit your business daytime or evening, in class or online, in training centres or on site.